Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features you'll find there. It is a newly redesigned freetalklive.com, and you can go and see for yourself and give us feedback on what you think. I believe there's a way to do that through the new site at freetalklive.com. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Pickless Mountaineer.
And a Wish Sandwich. A Wish Sandwich is a sandwich where you have two pieces of bread and you wish you had some meat. Bah, bah, bah.
Okay. Well, hello there, Mr. Sandwich. Good to have you.
It's the captain.
We're going to start out with some pretty ugly news that I found, unfortunately, here.
Wait. Before you do that, is the new Free Talk Live site the Greg Special?
It is, yeah.
Nice. It is. I saw that in its, I don't know, beta or whatever, mm-hmm. like previous.
It's still kind
test.
Of in a beta.
Well, okay, but I saw it in its previous sort of test, and I thought it was cool.
Okay, good. Yeah. Some people have given positive feedback on it so far. The Electronic Freedom Foundation is an organization that keeps an eye on things when it comes to governments. Governments around the planet, specifically, I think more so Western ones, on what they are doing to freedom online, meaning your freedom to, I don't know, express yourself, your freedom to have privacy, things like that. They pay attention to the news, and we're over here in the U.S. We don't really pay close attention to what's going on in the U.K., but they've done something there that the people who hate online freedom are very excited about.
I like to pronounce it yuck.
The UK, that's a good one.
Yuck.
The yuck, I like that.
You know, they've earned that.
They totally have.
Yes. And it's pretty ugly. They passed what they call the Online Safety Bill. And you probably can imagine that
it's a safety bill. Yeah. It's a safety bill.
That is, I'm sure, the best I will ever feel about this, Captain.
Yeah. And, you know, this is bad news for people that are in the UK for sure, but it's also likely bad news for people outside of the UK.
Okay, wait a minute. So, if I have, I don't know, a laptop computer or a desktop mm-hmm. computer, and I connect to the internet,
you are in danger,
am
sir.
I unsafe in some way, shape, or form?
Dun, dun, dun.
How is it that I am unsafe and require government intervention in order to become safe?
Well, you may be safe, but they need to know everything about what you're doing in order to make sure that you aren't doing something you're not supposed to do.
Well, what if I'm perfectly safe and they don't know about it?
Well, they need to know.
Why?
Because you might not be safe.
What if I am?
But they don't know.
Who cares if they know?
They
or not?
Care.
Oh, they care.
Why?
This is about the children.
But I mean,
hey, you know, you asked a question. I'd like to answer it.
Sure.
You think that you're safe because you got online? The truth is, you might do something illegal.
That's what they're
or
saying.
Or something that they think might be illegal.
All right.
Or just something in general they don't like, oh, I don't know, making money and not giving them any.
Mm-hmm. Let me posit a similar but different question in juxtaposition. What if I walk outside my front door onto the sidewalk?
Well, they have
again,
you covered.
Am
this.
I safe?
Again, you might do something illegal, or something they think is illegal, or just something they don't like make money and not give
well,
them
wait,
some.
Wait, remember.
And
we are,
that will make you very, very unsafe.
And we are talking about the United Kingdom here, where they do have thousands of CCTV cameras pointed all over the place in cities like London, I think,
yeah.
Elsewhere as well.
Not to mention they require a license for you to have a television.
They do that, yeah, that's right.
Like, they didn't have the foresight to not put one up on the celebration of George Orwell's life. Like, the house that he grew up in, mm-hmm. you can photograph the plaque where it says, to George Orwell, and the camera.
Wow.
They didn't bother with that. It's like, no, no. I know it's a dystopian nightmare, but let's be tacky, too.
We're going to talk more about this on the way here, but we're going to start things out with Dave Ridley. He's already on the lines. The number here is 603-283-6160. We'll tell you more about what they might be doing to your internet, even though you're not possibly in the United Kingdom. Likely you're not if you're listening to this show. But Ridley, you're on Free Talk Live from RidleyReport.com.
Saving you from the internet. It reminds me of that scene in The Holy Grail, in the Monty Python, where the guy, you know, he meets five pretty women and this guy comes to save him from them.
Now, my favorite part of that movie is the... My favorite part of that movie is the... I bring to you these 15... Ten Commandments. He had like three tablets, but like dropped one and it turned into dust. And so instead of 15, he presented 10 Commandments.
Mm. But yes, they cannot let us face the peril of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It is Castle Perilous.
Matt Sandbrun, right? I was calling him about Matt Sandbrun of NH Exit was able to question presidential candidate Chris Christie about New Hampshire independence.
Yeah, what about it?
I have the exact quote here. Yeah, Matt asked him, I may have been saying his name wrong. I mean, it's Severin, and I may still be saying it wrong. But anyway, Matt Severin, he says, quote, if one of the states in the country, whether it was New Hampshire or any of the other 50 states, voted to peacefully secede, would you let them go? Christie says, quote, I would do everything I could to make sure they didn't. I want to keep all 50, unquote.
Yeah, well, that's what you would expect from a tyrant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what does that mean? Everything I could, so like...
Oh, yeah,
as in Civil War. Right?
Well, right, and as a representative, if you will, as a person employed by the government of the United States, everything he could literally means violence.
I mean, gulags, seriously. Mm-hmm. Literal gulags. We are talking concentration camps, which I honestly see him being willing to do.
We're talking asking the military to take a stand on American ground against American citizens.
This, by the way, is not an unpopular idea. I mean, it is not a majority of people who support this. I believe Reigns and Edge talked about this on their show last night here on the Free Talk Live network of shows. Story that I had in show prep, but they covered it already, so it won't get too deep. But basically, around 25%, according to a new study from Colby College, Assistant Professor Nicholas Jacobs, it's approximately 25% of Americans who are already on board with the idea of independence for their state. According to the survey they did, they asked three questions. Do you favor the opposite party state seceding? So if you're a Republican, are you in favor of California leaving, right, that sort of thing? Over 25% said yes to that. Then another question was, it makes sense to see the country split up or to split the country up, and a little under 25% supported that one, maybe about 24. I'm looking at a bar graph here, so I don't have the exact numbers. And then the final question was, my state would be better off leaving the United States, and that one was slightly over 25%, so about a quarter of Americans right now are ready to go. They're ready to leave the United States.
The United States of America, if you understand it properly, when it was founded, is a consortium of already divided states, right? And so then the federal government comes in and somehow perverts this into cooperation between these individual states, i.e. countries, right? The United States vernacular has been perverted to describe states as part of the federal government, whereas these states are individual countries. They are supposed to be countries.
New Hampshire
should be a country, right? Wisconsin should be a country. Washington should be a country. Utah should be a country.
New Hampshire was a country.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. These were all founded as independent nations, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea that this would sort of be a devolution, right, a devolving of the United States into, oh my gosh, no, that's how it was founded in the first place. What happened is, all these states got together and kind of agreed that, like, we would have this other thing, you know, to cooperate on, like, defense and do some administrative, some secretarial stuff. And this grew into the largest empire the earth has ever seen. The natural state, if you will, for the United States is to be 50 different countries.
Absolutely right.
In my opinion.
I mean, it's the same experiment that they're doing in Europe now, only it's much accelerated there because Europe wasn't formed by a bunch of people who did not want to be part of
right.
the central
Europe
system.
Europe went the opposite way, and they went, hey, we're a bunch of separate states. Let's try and unify and call it the European Union.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. In much the same way that the United States is the union of states in this particular geographic area. And it's not going well.
Well, Britain said goodbye. They did the whole Brexit thing. I mean, Britain, as bad as it is, decided they didn't want to deal with the European Union's rules anymore, and they exited from the EU. By the way, the EU did not send a military invasion force. The EU has not put on economic sanctions against them. A lot of the fears that come up whenever you talk to Americans about United States seceding from the USA, those things didn't happen over there. And so I don't think there's really much reason to believe they're going to happen here, but it's hard to get over that.
Now, I want the United States to definitely secede, like all of them. Like every state should be their own separate entity and feel
you
free
may
to
see some regional alliances.
Okay, but like since that seems to be like an already predictable outcome, right? Let's get ahead of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Let's go New Hampshire. Let's go. Let's get ahead of the ball. Let's realize the economical impact of that first. Let's figure out how to be first in the union at something, and let's secede from the United States of America. Let's become our own entity. Let's figure out how to make our own rules, and that will be, of course, more freedom-oriented because of the large population of libertarians that's already here and in office.
One of the nice things about New Hampshire from a political perspective, and generally I find this to be detestable because so many politicians come here and they're gross, but it is kind of nice that from one aspect that so many politicians come here because even though New Hampshire is this really small state, it's got this first in the nation primary thing and that attracts these politicians here. And it allows people like what you're talking about, Dave, like Matt Sabourin, who's the founder of the New Hampshire Independence PAC, which is a New Hampshire independence secessionist group here in New Hampshire. He's been going to these politician speaking engagements and has been attempting to bird dog them either while they're on stage or catching them afterwards and asking them, getting them on the record about independence. Not because we believe anything that they say, right? They're politicians. Everything that comes out of their mouth is probably a lie.
Right.
But simply because we could parlay that into some level of publicity, right? Like if you can get Donald Trump to say, and this hasn't happened yet, but if you can get Donald Trump to say, I'll invade with the troops, or that's fine, see you later, whatever it is that he would say to the question of New Hampshire peacefully declaring independence, that could result in like news media coverage if we put that out there, and then possibly more, you know, media coverage means more people are talking about secession. And one of the candidates on the Republican side, I think it was Vivek Ramaswamy, at a I think it was a Free State Project, actually, where this happened. There was a Free State Project Porcupine Freedom Festival. They invited these politicians to speak. That's a whole other controversy. But
sure.
They were on stage. A guy got up and asked Vivek Ramaswamy about, you know, what would he do in the event that New Hampshire were to declare a peaceful independence. Now, most of these politicians have been sliming out of directly answering the question,
right.
RFK Jr., Vivek, and some other guy. At least to Christie's credit, and there's not a lot of credit this guy deserves because he's scum of the earth.
Oh, that he actually answered? Yeah, I'm a tyrant. I'll totally take him over.
He actually kind of answered the question. Larry Elder also gave a decent answer. He's actually the only one who's given a decent answer, which is to say that secession should be considered, essentially. He thinks he said it's not a crazy idea and we should be talking about it. So kudos to Larry Elder for that particular answer.
I mean, letting us self-determine.
But I'm pretty sure it was Vivek who actually said something, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but he actually said, the more people talk about this, the closer it comes to being real, and he wants to make sure the union stays together. So he's all about, you know, elect me and I'll keep the union together. And so he's by no means in favor of secession. But he had at least acknowledged the reality that if you want something to happen, people have to believe that it can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And once people believe it can happen, then it can.
Right.
It can.
Look, the way I see this, we are headed toward a monetary cliff. The monopolar world is ending. Mm-hmm. Now, we can either just hold on to this ride until it explodes, and that's most likely what the rest of the United States are going to do. We might see some exceptions in, mm-hmm. Florida, Texas, California. They might also go, hey, let's get off this ride before it crashes. But either we hold on to this and we experience a tremendous amount of pain, or we start moving in that direction now before we are forced by economic circumstances to forge our own path anyway.
Yeah, exactly. In addition to these secession numbers, and by the way, Dave, thanks for the call. He dropped off the line, so definitely appreciate hearing from you. Appreciate the news update.
How do you find Dave's stuff?
RidleyReport.com. It's also on Odyssey as Ridley Report. He does video journalism, I guess
that
you could call
legendary,
it.
Man.
He's an independent
how
journalist.
How do the kids say? Based.
Ridley is based.
Ridley is based.
He's old school. So a story I had in relation to, we'll get back into the UK and what's going on over there with the internet in a moment. But so about 25% of Americans, according to a recent study, are saying they're ready to go now.
Okay. Right, well, then a large portion of that 25% who are ready to secede need to immediately move to New Hampshire and join us in the secession movement.
If you believe in liberty. Now, here's the thing. The problem with the secession movement is it isn't inherently libertarian. Okay, so
right. If you believe in secession and you want a left state, go to California.
Right.
If you want a right state, go to Texas.
Exactly. That would be the way to do it.
Right. If you want a free state, we've got a project
state, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to abolish the state, right. Then, come to New Hampshire. If you want a small state, you can come to New Hampshire.
Like, to some extent, just to accomplish the mission of secession, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it might behoove people who, it sounds like that. Maybe I should go to California. Maybe I should go to Texas, right? But if you're willing to work towards the actual goal of seceding from the United States, I personally would welcome you.
Okay. All right. Well, I would. I don't know how I feel about it.
Along the way, they become abolitionists.
Okay, maybe.
Well, I'm all for.
Appreciate the optimism.
I'm all for working with our cousins in Texas and California to help them secede and have their independent states. At this point, even if you're not a nice, principled voluntarist, you want to reduce government, if you want to move in the direction of less government, and you're like, I think a Watchman State's essential, but man, we are so far from that. Come on up.
I'll take those guys. Yeah.
Come on up.
Maybe we could do like the sports teams do, like the NFL. We could be like, hey, Texas, you got like some activists that are a little over the top for you. Well, we got some activists here that are a little under the
swap,
top.
Right?
We'll trade you these two guys for these two guys, and mid-season, see what happens to the playbook.
Yeah, California, if you've got some like real holdouts on that anti-war stuff, send them up here. We love those guys.
So, a few other interesting numbers from Pew Research that came out within the last week, actually several days ago. Only 4% of Americans now say the political system is working extremely or very well, with nearly three-quarters saying it isn't.
There's 4% of Americans who think the system is working extremely well.
or very well.
63% of Americans say they have little or no confidence in the future of the U.S. political system. 63%.
Wow.
Little or no confidence in the future.
If we were as cool as Canada, we could have a vote on that. And then we'd all officially know that we had no confidence, and then the Queen would tell us we have confidence anyway.
Well, and so I think it's interesting the discrepancy between the viewpoints that people have. You got about a quarter of Americans saying they're fine with secession, but 63% don't have any confidence or little confidence in the future of the entire U.S. political system. So there's a big gaping, hole in between that 25 and 63% of people. These are people who presumably
the other 33%. What are they doing?
Presumably, they just haven't figured out that secession could be a thing, right?
Like,
they're not thinking about it. It hasn't been presented to them, which is why I say that 25% of people already in favor of seceding is a really great starting point to be at. We're not at 10%. We're not at 2%. It's 25%, and you've got 63% of Americans having no confidence virtually in the entire system. All we got to do is persuade that 30-something percent to change their mind and on secession.
Me, personally, as a human being, I am totally guilty of not really fully thinking politics out until I was 38 or, like, even beginning, right? Like, I still probably haven't fully thought it out, but, like, I didn't start to think about it until I was, like, 38, right? Maybe Ron Paul campaign-ish era, right, kind of a thing. And so my take on the average American person is they also have not thought any of this through. I don't care where you live. I don't care if you're in a blue state or a red state or whatever. And a lot of people are like, well, I guess I'm kind of in the middle. Well, no, you're not. You just don't agree with either the left or the right. Right. And so that means you're...
That makes you a little more sane, I think.
It does, yeah. Like, I think people who are in the middle are probably, if they were to think about it logically and rationally, would fall towards the voluntarist category. Right. And I just say that because I've encountered so many people who I know for a fact haven't thought it through. They just, you know, oh, I saw this on TV the other day. They regurgitate whatever they saw on the TV, whatever their favorite news channel is. And then they say that. And then, but they can't defend their positions with any sort of coherent thought or factual backup or anything. They just haven't thought it through. They just regurgitate what they saw on TV. And if you're able to sit them down and drill them down and spend some time with them, they come to the conclusion that the same conclusion we've come to, which is all human interaction should be voluntary with consent.
So the numbers here back what you're saying, or at least back your personal experience, meaning that as you were a younger person, you didn't really get it. You weren't paying attention. Sure enough, younger adults are somewhat more likely than older adults to say the political system's working well. 35% of adults under the age of 30 say the system's working at least somewhat well, compared with only 29% of those from 30 to 49 and 24% of those 50 and older. So the older you are, the more experienced you are at how much this all sucks. And it's coming to to that realization.
The brainwashing washes off at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And our media, which is how they our media, which was how they updated their brainwashing so that we stayed in, completely enslaved to their narrative, that is no longer dominated by a central framework. So all of these kids that are close to the original 12 years of brainwashing, they have a much easier time of thinking in the way that the world controllers would like them to.
I am very impressed with the amount of people I've seen come to, at least through Keen, to like our meetups that I go to and stuff like that, who are under 40. Right, I've been impressed.
We got more coming up here. You can share your thoughts with us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're here on the live Saturday edition of Free Talk Live, the UK online safety bill. Yuck. We'll talk about it coming up.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Tropical storm Ophelia is barreling across eastern North Carolina, packing top sustained winds of 45 miles an hour and bringing high gusts, coastal flooding, and life-threatening rip currents northward into New Jersey over the weekend. Forecasters predict 3 to 5 inches of rainfall across parts of eastern North Carolina and southeast Virginia Saturday night into Sunday morning. The White House is calling on Congress to avoid a governmental shutdown by passing funding legislation. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre is urging House Republicans to honor the bipartisan agreement negotiated by Speaker McCarthy and President Biden. Congress must pass a funding bill by the end of this month to avoid a shutdown. And a capsule carrying rocky material from the surface of an asteroid is set to land tomorrow morning in the Utah desert. NASA says the robotic spacecraft OSIRIS-REx is on course for a fiery plunge through the atmosphere and a landing by parachute. The return of the sample taken 3 years ago from the asteroid Bennu will be the first for NASA. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program. The number, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160. We have some terrible news from the Yuck, as Captain has called it.
Also known as the UK.
The UK.
You pronounce it, though. It's Yuck.
I like it. I like that. And it is pretty disgusting what
I guess we should say the Yuck.
What they're going to be doing possibly to the idea of encryption, a way to keep things private that you want to keep private. Well, they're saying that's about done for, and we'll tell you more about what the plan is, or that has been passed now apparently by the Parliament there in the UK. That's still to come here tonight with you in the studio. It's Ian
Pickles Mountaineer
and the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Big thanks, by the way, to our supporters of this show, Elizabeth, who is a platinum subscriber to our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support Free Talk Live. It is a way for you to contribute.
Get excited for sponsors?
You can get excited about anything you want.
So thank you, Elizabeth, for supporting the show. In fact, she's doing at least five times what we ask. We only ask for $5 a month. She's doing at least 25, so thank you for that. You can do $5 a month over at amps.freetalklive.com. That takes you to our Patreon page, and that gets you access to special perks like the AMPS Only podcast, which features the full radio show without the pesky commercials. So you can go and enjoy that over at amps.freetalklive.com. And it helps us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. Let's go back to the phones here. Gigi is on the line in South Carolina. Go ahead, Gigi.
Hi, everybody. Hi. I haven't called in for a few weeks.
Welcome.
So good evening.
What's on your mind tonight?
I have 2 points I would like to make, and then I have a question for our listeners across the nation as well as our host this evening.
All right.
Number one, in recent American history, we have already witnessed and experienced American citizens rounded up, placed in various internment camps,
oh, yes,
their citizenship revoked, their personal and communal properties confiscated. The Japanese American citizens.
Agreed.
That's right.
So we've already experienced that, and don't ever think these types of things cannot happen again.
Great point.
Yeah, the powers they have during an emergency are the powers they have.
Take the needle out of your arm, baby.
Okay.
Now, my first point, you were referring to independent nations prior to the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Let me please, as a former American history professor at Florida International University in Miami, let me please rephrase that, not meant to be disrespectful or obnoxious, but let me use proper verbiage. The Articles of Confederation, the Continental Congress, they were independent colonies, formerly European-owned property, territory, resources, and people. A transformation was then made into these United States of America, hence federal.
No. You're skipping the state. No, you're skipping a step. When a colony secedes from their colonizer.
Can I please finish?
Yes.
Thank you. Then there was a decision made by these federal authorities, hence the central government. When you can control territory, you control resources, you control income, you control what's coming in and out, not only mobility, but trade. This is all a part of ownership. And as the captain always emphasizes, and I might point out correctly, it is a form of coercion. It is a form of violence.
Okay. Peekless, do you want to say what you were trying to correct?
I will listen attentively to your perspective, sir.
Yeah, that when the colonies threw off their colonizer, they became an independent state. And when they did that, they were their own states, nations, countries, their own political entities, commonwealth in some cases.
But I respect your perspective.
Okay, well, you interrupted him now, so let's let him finish what he has to say.
You're right. I beg your pardon.
Yeah, for example, as we have a caller very frequently remind us, Pennsylvania was, in fact, a commonwealth, which is also something reserved for essentially what we would now consider an empire, but a collection
like
of
Puerto
states.
Like Puerto Rico?
I wasn't referring to...
Like the way we refer to Puerto Rico as a commonwealth? I would agree with you.
Okay. So you said you disagreed earlier with what Pecos Mountaineer was saying about these colonies becoming countries when they declared independence, and it's just a simple matter of history.
And I'll explain why.
Okay, well, you can get to that in a moment, but I'm going to explain that you're incorrect. It's a simple matter of history. New Hampshire declared independence, I believe it was 2 years prior to the formation of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometime prior,
And in New Hampshire's constitution, the what is now called governor was originally called the president of New Hampshire.
Correct.
It is a fact that New Hampshire and probably some of the other ones were independent nations of their own volition who decided to come together to form a union.
Yeah. At that time, they weren't even a confederation, not even a loose confederation. This is a state, a nation.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Gigi.
I guess I would just differ with you gentlemen on the noun. I wouldn't say an independent nation. I would say an independent territory.
Well,
because
the territory suggests that
they weren't recognized amongst themselves as a nation, but rather a territory.
Whose
territory? That's nonsense, Gigi.
A territory has to belong. A territory has to belong to something, right?
Right, so, to the people residing within it.
I mean, I get what you're saying, Gigi, if you're talking about the colonies, right? That makes sense.
Yes.
That the colonies were owned by the British
Various
Empire.
Europeans.
Right. That we'll call it the British Empire for lack of a better, you know,
well,
one
no,
thing to talk about.
You had Swedish, you had French, You had Spanish. You had Dutch, as well as British.
Okay. But once the colonies decided to no longer be owned, if you will, by any of those entities.
Well, that came with the Declaration of Independence.
No, it came before that.
It precedes the independence of New Hampshire.
Financial and political grievances, and then they said we're seceding.
The independence of New Hampshire precedes the independence of these United States.
I agree with you on that.
Okay, well, hold on. So let's look at that moment in time. So
okay.
Would you not consider it to be a nation at that moment in time?
I guess I wouldn't use that noun, but I would agree with the premise of what you gentlemen are saying. I just wouldn't use the noun
nation. So you're saying the only reason you wouldn't give it the noun nation is because you don't think anyone else recognized them as a nation?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Okay. So this is the same thing that countries that are trying to form today have to deal with. This is the same kind of bias.
Oh, absolutely. So, let's look at the Palestinians and Quebec, the Kurds. They want independent territories with an identifiable boundary, their own culture, their own language.
And why shouldn't they be able to have it?
All the outsiders refuse to give them that recognition.
Okay, so if, let's just say, New Hampshire.
Pardon me, do I?
I said, as do you.
Well,
no, that's not true. I have no problem with an independent Palestinian state, nation, country, whatever noun we should ascribe it to, or for the Kurds or for Quebec.
Okay, let's just take New Hampshire as an example then.
Okay.
If the people of New Hampshire voted and said, hey, we want to secede from the Union, and there was, you know, I don't know, 52% or whatever of the people who said, yep, that's what we want. And then all the people of New Hampshire.
I feel that they should
hang on. All the people of New Hampshire then also took the next step of, like, you know, I don't know, picking up their guns or whatever and, like, standing at the borders just to make a show of it. Right?
Well, you know, the federal authorities would never permit that.
It doesn't matter whether they permit it or not. It was a choice of the people of the state of New Hampshire. Now, hang on. Gigi, hang on.
Voted in a majority. That's what we want to do.
Gigi,
I feel, yes, they should have a right to do that.
Gigi, stop for a minute. Right.
Okay.
So, we're in a hypothetical situation. None of this has actually happened. Hypothetically, the people of New Hampshire all voted, right, a majority, said, yeah, we want to be an independent nation. And then, as a show of, yes, this is what we want to do, everybody just sort of, you know, picked up their guns and stood around the borders and said, this is what we're going to do. Do you think that the federal government is going to take violent action against us?
Oh, absolutely they would.
Why?
In a heartbeat.
Why?
They don't want to lose the resources, the manpower, the production potential.
So they'll destroy it rather than lose it.
The port cities as well as the revenue.
So they would destroy those people by bombing them or shooting them?
I don't feel that. I wouldn't put it past the federal government or even possibly the governor to take military and or legal political action against what the residents voted for in a majority. Look what's in the news right now with the nation of India, okay? There is a movement of Punjab, a majority of Sikh religious community. They are residents, and they have been promoting a secessionist movement. India is not going to permit it. They have already, on repeated instances, sent in federal military troops to quash it.
Okay. Well, not every secession movement results in violence. So we gave you the example earlier tonight of Brexit. Are you familiar with Brexit?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Was there an invasion of Great Britain when they determined they were going to leave the European Union?
Oh, yes. They did it in Northern Ireland on the border, and it's still enforced.
What are you talking about?
There was, no, he's talking about Brexit.
Yes, I'm familiar with what Brexit is.
Okay, who invaded Ireland?
Northern Ireland. The British shut down what was temporarily, when Brexit was originally enforced, the British military went back in, shut down the open border.
Okay, I'm not familiar with this.
That's
I was referring
still
to
not a military invasion of Britain.
I was referring to the European Union. So just to clarify here, Gigi, maybe there's been a miscommunication.
Northern
Ireland is part of the UK.
Yeah, Gigi, we're not talking about the Brits fighting with Ireland or the Irish fighting with the Brits. That sounds like what you're talking about here. We're talking about Great Britain leaving the European Union.
Small area over water between Ireland and Northern Ireland, and it was once again shut down with an open policy for a while.
Shut down by whom?
Period. When Brexit was enforced, no customs, no visa,
Who shut it down?
Open trucks back and forth for trade. And
who shut it down?
The British.
Okay, that's not what we're talking about. Okay, what I asked you about, what we were talking about, is when the British left the European Union. Did the European Union invade Great Britain?
No, they did not.
Okay. Has the European Union put economic sanctions against Great Britain?
Yes, they did.
In what way?
Oh, in terms of import taxes on British products.
Oh, you mean they no longer had the agreements that they had under the European Union?
Correct.
Yeah, that's
right.
Not the
that's
same thing.
Not
as
the
sanctions.
Same as sanctions.
Sanctions is where you're prohibited from doing any business whatsoever with people in a certain
not
country.
Not always. Some sanctions.
No, you're confusing taxes with tax with sanctions.
Yes.
I can understand why, but I get it. Thank
sanctions
you for the call.
Sanctions are a punitive action.
Well, I mean, certainly taxes are punitive as well. So,
okay,
I mean, I guess
but sanctions are in response to some other action.
Usually, yeah.
Usually right, as yeah. a punitive action.
Yeah, and it's usually, you know, you are going to go to prison or whatever if you violate the sanctions as opposed to getting a tax bill or something like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what they did was not sanctions. What they did was what you would expect a country that is no longer part of that union to interact with that country. Yeah, that's exactly what you would expect. Now, if there was, if they're like, no, we insist on you coming back into the union, you come back right now, then they'd have been like, okay, no more trading with Britain.
Yeah.
No one here is allowed to, or at least, at the very least, they would have said, okay, no one's allowed to trade anything but oil. You know, or whatever it was that, like, okay, we recognize that we still need you for this, so we'll let people do that. But all these other things, don't you go buying those things. We need to punish these people for going away.
Right, so what she was describing is essentially a renegotiation of whatever trade agreements they had under the EU as Great Britain is now an independent country.
Posit that if a state such as New Hampshire were to vote themselves out of the union and take action to see that that actually occurred, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that action might be, it's going to be probably actions, right? Mm-hmm. Probably more than one action, that there's nothing that the United States government would do about it.
Well, I mean, there's going to be some kind of negotiation, right? Like,
okay,
I mean,
but I'm just saying that, like, they're not going to bomb New Hampshire. They're not going to invade
that's like the
New
most
Hampshire
insane thing, right?
With, like, military force or whatever, right? Those things.
But that's
those,
the most common objection, Captain.
Right, that's
what
I'm
people
saying.
Really
like,
believe.
That, but that's not going to happen. I understand that it's the most common objection, mm-hmm. but it's totally not going to happen.
Why not?
Well, why would it?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, it's counterproductive.
Well, because
counterproductive to everybody.
Well,
it's against
hold on.
Everybody's
no, I think
interest.
I think that's a fair question. Why would it happen? Well, because these are toddlers. These are children who would rather break a toy than see you playing with it when they want it.
So everything that has already been said about the heinousness of the largest empire on planet Earth would not only become more true, mm-hmm. but visibly so.
Mm.
Right? So they would literally be digging their own grave by taking any action against any state. It doesn't matter if it's New Hampshire or New Mexico or whatever. Right? It doesn't matter. Utah. I don't care. Right? Any state that decided to secede, voted for it, and then like, you know, hey everybody, let's, you know, stand up and enforce our borders for a minute. Right, something along those lines, or at least, like, you know, not let United States government personnel in. Everybody else is fine. Something along those lines. It would be very bad PR.
Yes, it would.
For the, quote, United States of America, unquote, to do anything violent to that, because then they're declaring war upon their own people.
I get where you're coming from, and I tend to agree with you, but I'm going to play devil's advocate on this one as well here. They clearly don't mind bad PR, right? Like, they put Ross Ulbricht in prison for two life sentences plus 40 years. I mean, they are absolutely horrific as far as the war on drugs. They've just been violent against people all around the planet. Certainly, this is different in that it would be them being violent against what was their own people. So there is that aspect, and maybe that would be a deterrent. But at the same time, I mean, these are psychopaths.
Well, okay, so it would be going against their own what's the word I'm looking for? Their own indoctrination, their own brainwashing, right? Hmm. The United States government has indoctrinated everybody who went to public schools into believing that as long as you're in the geographic area known as the United States, you're free. And you're going to be sort of like, you know, free to be able to move about the United States.
Except
and,
for free to say
and,
goodbye.
And do what you want and all that kind of stuff, right? Now, if they start bombing the home team it's themselves is going to go, wait a minute.
Yeah, I am on your side
on
this.
Hold on. No, I'd like you to explain what you mean by going, wait a minute. Like, what do you think that the population of the United States would then,
it's, like, it's how would they respond to that? It's more about the population of, if we're using the example of New Hampshire, mm-hmm. right? Let's take everybody in New Hampshire that ever was a member of the armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, all of a sudden, the United States military is, you know, I don't know, bombing us or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Bombing the state of New Hampshire, or they're invading with troops or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you think the people who live here now that formerly served are going to lay down and take it?
I don't think they will.
No, definitely not.
Okay. And so,
but the question, I think, was about what the rest of America would do, right?
Right.
The rest of America, I think, would wake up. I would hope.
I
would wake up and go,
stop ever betting on that.
Why is the United States declaring war on itself?
I'm sorry. At some point, you have to give up. Because, like, they didn't wake up during COVID. They're not waking up for New Hampshire's independence. I'm sorry.
I'm just talking
about... They're not going to wake up.
I'm not talking about the average... I'm talking about specifically current and former military.
Of the United States?
Yes.
I don't think that they're going to spontaneously form a military to go against the United States military.
Yeah, it seems to me like most Americans would cower.
That's not what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting is that those who served previously would go, wait a minute, this is wrong.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of people would say it's wrong.
And then what?
I think that's true.
And then what?
Well, we would have to, you know, be in that situation to find out.
Well, right. So I don't think that the ex-military of America suddenly, you know, coming to their senses about this is going to help us in that circumstance. And this is why, like, don't get me wrong, I absolutely believe for pushing for independence at every possible term. But I think that the actual path is something that is more gradual and thus more peaceful. Mm-hmm. I think that what you slowly but surely
accomplish... I would love nothing more than a more peaceful path.
Right. Well, and that's I think, the way it has to happen. In order for this to accomplish effectively is that you change the culture of New Hampshire to start thinking of themselves less and less as attached to the most violent gang on the planet, and more their own sort of, we like to be over here doing our own thing, and as you do that, people simply become less compliant with tax laws, they become less compliant with all of the regulations on business, and we just start doing more and more, a little bit here, a little bit there, of New Hampshire's own thing, until it reaches a point where we're like, hey, we should just go ahead and formalize this since we're already doing our own thing anyway.
I'm with you, and you and I agree on, yes, that's the best tactic, right? I want peaceful resolution to this conflict that we have with this entity known as government.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want everybody to realize that you have the power. Be the president of yourself. Be the captain of yourself, as I always say. Mm-hmm. Right? This is the way forward. Right? If you just simply take responsibility for yourself completely and 100%, don't outsource your crap to the government. Don't be like, well, yeah, I really care about the poor, but I don't do anything about it. I just let my taxes... No, then you don't care about the poor.
Right.
Like, you actually don't care. You just think that somebody else taking your money is going to take care of it. You're outsourcing that responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you should be helping the poor, but you don't
but you
do anything
no attention.
About it. You pay no attention to anything that's going on in your own community, much less anybody else's community, about the poor, because this entity is taking money from you, and they falsely convinced you that they're doing something about the poor. They're not.
Right.
They're, in fact, they're keeping the poor poor, and they're making more poor every day.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, this does not occur. So this is the waking up part that I talk about, right? When people realize that, oh my gosh, I can no longer outsource this responsibility, right? If you were able to keep all of the money that you make and then go, wow, you know, I'm doing pretty well, and there's some people on the planet that are not as well off as me, let me research a charity or two. Let me do some volunteering. Let me find out where, you know, like, if I want to donate, you know, 1%, 5%, 10% of my money, or time or effort or a combination of all those things to some charity to make a dent on the poor, right? Where is it most effective? That's how poverty gets solved, not by absolving yourself of responsibility and allowing your, quote, tax money, unquote, to, like, take care of the poor for you so you don't have to frickin' think about it.
Well, that's a way to get rid of government welfare, but if you really want to solve poverty, I think the best way would be to get the government out of the way of people starting their own businesses, for instance.
To that extent, poverty can never be solved. Poverty is the default state of the human being.
I disagree completely about
when
that.
When you fall out of your mother's vagina,
it is
have no
default,
wealth.
Sure.
You are impoverished.
Yeah, it is the default setting, but that doesn't mean that we're stuck with it forever.
I'm just saying you don't eliminate poverty because you're born impoverished.
Right. And what you would see if the government would butt out for a second is that people would, on the right, they would have a lot of church organizations, and on the left, they would have a lot of community organizations, and they would basically get together and do the same thing, analyze the problems that they have.
And sometimes they would cooperate with each other for a greater impact.
Right. And just like every private organization that's doing charity, they'd spend 80% of their wealth on the actual thing. But if you really want to solve poverty, we have to stop using a printable dollar.
That's another important aspect to it as well. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We got the terrible news out of the UK about their internet restrictions, which could be affecting the rest of the world. We'll explain why coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.